And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
One team is through the conference finals, three more are not too far behind. Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Round two, check-in edition. Nick Alberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
I'm feeling good, Nick. The boys are back together. It feels like it's been a while since we've spoke, and a lot has happened since we've talked last, and maybe a lot will still happen in this second round. Like you mentioned, this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
You want a hot take right off the top here, Jake?
Hit me with it right off the top, Nick. We don't need to waste any time on the pod.
This is the Alberga guarantee. The Edmonton Oilers are winning the Stanley Cup. They are a team of destiny. I've been telling you guys for weeks now it is happening, okay?
Well, okay, you were on the Oilers. I will give you credit for that. And then I feel like you briefly jumped off the Oilers maybe at some point in the first round. And it was tough to back them. It was tough to look at them in the first round at any point. Even when they came back and beat LA, part of me just thought, is that the Kings just blowing it? Like, how much credit should I really give the Oilers? We got to give the Oilers all the credit in the world now, Nick. They look as good as last year. You could argue maybe even better than at points last year, more complete. Now all of a sudden, Stuart Skinner's finding some confidence. So hard to disagree. I like Edmonton. Potential conference final against Dallas would be a tough one to pick, but based on what I'm watching right now, I love how this Edmonton Oilers team is playing.
I mean, that's the big story for me is like the depth guys. It really hasn't been as much about McDavid and Draisaitl, but you're getting Kasperi Kapanen scoring OT winners. My guy Adam Henrique, a two-goal effort in that series. Evander Kane's been a beast. Like, contributions are coming left and right. You almost forget Matthias Ekholm isn't playing right now.
Well, I give you credit. You were on the Oilers basically throughout the playoff run. I did pick Vegas in this series, Nick, but it took me, I want to say, half a game to completely pivot. And sometimes you need to visually see these teams play a game. And I've been on Edmonton every game since that game one win, that comeback win for the Edmonton Oilers. So you just mentioned it. Kapanen up and down the lineup, they're getting the scoring. McDavid looks as healthy as I think I've seen him all year. And has Stuart Skinner done a ton the last couple games? I would say probably not. I think they're playing really well defensively in front of him, but that goes a long way towards his confidence now going into a conference final.
And guys, Corey Perry, maybe the biggest surprise of the playoffs. I know he's been a little quiet the past few games, but him being among the Oilers leaders in goals, power play goals, high danger goals, is like top five in the league this postseason. I mean, what a weird career this guy has had with all the recent string of cup final losses. Won the cup earlier in his career, won an MVP, right? Back in the day was a fantasy gold mine, but now Corey Perry is back on the top line with the big dogs and really making a difference for the Oilers this postseason.
Petey, I can't even keep track of how many conference finals Corey Perry's played in, let alone in the last decade, never mind his career. Like, it's beyond insanity, but you're so right. He has been such a big story for that team at the ripe age of, 40 to be on the top line with the big boys. And full disclosure, I'm going to go at Carter Hutton, who's coming up in about 20 minutes pretty hard about goaltending in general. Like, Stuart Skinner was dead to rights, Jake. Now I guess he's back, back-to-back shutties. Like, tell me you expected that late in this series.
I did not, and I would love to hear Carter's opinion on it, obviously as a former goaltender in the National Hockey. Well, there's still a long racetrack to go, right? We're giving the Conn Smythe to Mikko Rantanen right now. You know, obviously there's some other guys that deserve to be in the conversation. We still got two full rounds to play, so a lot left to be decided in terms of that award, and we can get into some of those odds. But I always say, Nick, it's so hard for a struggling goaltender to find their game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's one thing in the regular season. Oh, look, the Sharks are on the calendar. The Blackhawks are on the calendar. Little get right spot for me here. No get right spots in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it seems like Stuart Skinner's found a way. Connor Hellebuyck struggling a little bit to find that game in the postseason against a good Dallas team. And I think Aiden Hill's the perfect example of the opposite. He just couldn't find his game at all, even going back to that Minnesota series. Not saying he cost Vegas the series, but he just never really seemed to find his form.
If there's one thing I learned from round one and round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm not paying my goalies. I'm just not. Connor Hellebuyck is the best goaltender on the planet. He turns into Ilya Samsonov in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, half these guys can't even get in there into the net. Something goes wrong. It just, you know, you think the Shesterkin contract's going to work out for the New York Rangers? I call you crazy, Jake. I really do.
Well, not even just the Shesterkin contract. We are seeing, and we saw this flip over the last couple of years in terms of the goaltending market. We go back a few years ago when Colorado won and kind of pinched pennies with the goaltending situation and proved, okay, if you build a great team in front of these guys, you can win with an average goaltender. And that seemed to be the theme throughout the league. And all of a sudden, it's flipped. Now, everybody is getting paid, Nick. You mentioned Igor. I mean, it's obvious a guy like that's going to get paid. But even that mid-tier of goaltenders is getting healthy money and healthy term. You know, guys like Blackwood, coming into Colorado all of a sudden and getting instant term, instant money, just to pick him as an example. So we're seeing it throughout the league, and I'm watching all these guys get paid, and I'm thinking, man, we're only a year away from two or three of these guys maybe being in the American Hockey League, as because we know how this position works.
Jakey, expansion is coming. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Like, we're going to get to a point where Jonas Johansson's the number one goaltender in this league. He's the worst goalie in the NHL, keeps getting contracts. Like, it's so watered down, the position, and I think it's good news for us. We love offense here in the fantasy world. Free food, beauty. Skip 60 to score is here. Get even more wins during the Stanley Cup playoffs. How to play, you ask? Place a game day order to play. Pick your team and get your minute. If either team scores during that time, you score a $25 skip voucher. Order and play 60 to score in the Skip app to take your shot now until May 19th. Get her one, Jakey boy. Let's get into this Maple Leafs disaster. We were so obviously, I host Leafs Morning Take, the hottest and most upcoming podcast and YouTube show out there right now. We were billing it as the biggest game in Leafs franchise history in 20 plus years. And Jake, they didn't show up for the hockey game. Can you believe that?
Did you have a cool name for it, like the Rumble in the Jungle or anything like that? Did you come up with any fun catchphrase?
Not really.
No. It didn't pan out to be anything, Nick. I mean, it was shark versus baby seal, basically, was what that was. And it was right from puck drop, you could tell. And look, full credit to the Florida Panthers. That's an excellent team. Two straight Stanley Cup finals, looking to make it a third straight Stanley Cup final. Obviously, they're a win away here from the conference final. So there's a lot that they did well, but man, you just can't lay an egg like that on home ice. And it was shocking. I did expect the Panthers to win that hockey game, but I expected them to have to work a lot harder for it, to win a one-goal game. And I don't know, what do you feel like there's a response from this Leafs team going on the road? Maybe you feel like it's a little bit easier for them to play on the road out of the pressure of that home ice situation. It's hard to back this team after what we've watched the last two games here.
The Panthers were literally laughing their way off the ice last night. Like, so humiliating, so embarrassing as a Leafs fan. I don't know how I even get up for game six. To answer your question, of course they'll answer. Of course they'll respond. This series is going seven games, and that's when the Leafs are going to lose, because that's what they do. You're a Leafs fan as well, Jake. They're going to drag you back into the fight, then they're going to go to game seven on home ice. They're going to lose. That's your script right there.
Well, yeah, we've seen the movie too many times, and it does feel like they tend, at least in these pressure situations, they tend to play a little bit better on the road for whatever reason. I don't know if it's the building, if it's just the pressure of playing at home. It doesn't seem to give them the same energy that it gives other teams around the league. But it was shocking, and I think Florida's found their game, Nick. I think this team totally, or this series totally swung in game three. I thought the Leafs through two and a half games were actually playing really well. I was honestly shocked at how sleepy the Panthers looked through a couple games in the series. And I'm like, are they going to wake up at some point? And obviously they get a couple of bounces in that game three, and then games four and game five, they've looked like the champs. And that's a scary bunch. And the Leafs are going to have to find a way to beat a team like that that's playing at their highest level right now.
There's just so much depth up and down that Panthers roster. Did you know 23 different players have scored in this series? Not one is the highest paid player in the NHL, Austin Matthews. You don't have to look far to see why the Leafs are down 3-2 in this series. Matthews, go show. Mitch Marner, go show. Pete Jensen's going to love July 1 because we're going to be tracking the whereabouts of Mitch Marner, where he's headed. My early money, by the way, Carolina Hurricanes. Watch out for them, Jake.
Ooh, Carolina. Okay. And look, as the clock possibly ticks on the Maple Leaf season, and you watch Mitch Marner do a whatever that was, what do we want to call that? The pirouette, spinorama, backhand. Like, that's like you'd get ripped on your men's league for that. If I did that on my men's league, my goaltender's probably slashing me at the bench after at the exchange between periods. So I don't know what that was. You certainly can't do that in a playoff game against the Florida Panthers, and then you don't get back on the back check. So just a really really bad game. I suppose if you're trying to look for any positives in a horrible home loss like that, you say, well, you're never in the game. And those tend to be a little bit easier to crumple up and throw away and say, well, we stunk up the joint and we got to be a lot better in game six. So I'm fascinated to see how they respond here, Nick, but this just feels like the Panthers series, whether it's Friday night and they close it out on home ice, or like you mentioned, you know, they get dragged back to Toronto for game seven. It just feels like they're going to be comfortable in all those situations. This is a team that blew a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final and still found a way to win that game seven. I think if they lost a game six on home ice, they'd have no problem, feel no pressure in that game seven in Toronto.
Petey loves stats. Teams who are 2-2 in a series and win game five go on to win 79% of the time. The Leafs are up against it. You got to give major props as well to the Panthers. Sergei Bobrovsky is heating up. Matthew Tkachuk is nowhere close to being healthy. He's barely a factor in the series, but still dragging his team into the fight. And Jake, dare I say we're on a collision course, Edmonton, Florida, round two in the Stanley Cup final here. Are you buying into that?
There's a lot of fun potential Stanley Cup finals here. Like, we either get the rematch, which I'm here for, seven games last year. We could see if Connor McDavid can break through, get that first Stanley Cup, or the Panthers can go back-to-back. We still have the Rantanen Bowl as a possibility for a Stanley Cup final here. Is Rantanen going to go through both of his former teams this year and beat the Hurricanes in the Cup final? So a lot of different permutations that we could get, and that the All-Canadian Cup final is starting to look less and less likely. It's still a possibility, but percentage chances are going down. Petey, is there any Cup final out of those that I just mentioned that maybe you're rooting for more than others?
I'm definitely rooting for the Canes and the Dallas Stars because of the Rantanen angle, because of the Freddie angle. You know, I've always been a Freddie apologist, and they actually locked him up for another year, right, with that one-year extension, $2.75 million. I wanted to add that is amazing value, right? Oh, when you're talking about like all these bargain bin goalies. And not so fast, Freddie is in the top five of the Conn Smythe Trophy odds board on bet365. I know you guys will get to that later with Hudden.
I want to give some love. You're right. I've been very, very harsh, not on just on this podcast, but other platforms, on Freddie Anderson. He's in there. That's the best thing I can tell you. It's great news from what I've been told. There was no other options for the Canes. They had to re-sign the guy. 6-1-1, 1.41, 935, one shutout. Jake, how surprised are you that the Caps are on the brink here? It's 3-1 Canes in that series.
Well, I'm a little surprised, to be honest, because I did like the Capitals coming into this series. I thought there'd be a little bit more of a pushback. They almost look a little bit defeated to me with the body language. It's not lack of effort. I mean, all these teams across the board, even we just talked about the Leafs, it's not lack of effort. Sometimes it's just execution. You run into a better team or a team that's executing better than you are. And I think that's what Carolina is doing against Washington right now. Even back to that last game, Nick, between Washington and Carolina, Washington's down two goals. They get a 5-on-3. Ovechkin, classic Ovi, you know, from his office, he rips it off the post and in. Great shot. And even the body language, like, it's Ovi, when he's feeling it, he's jumping into the boards, he's firing up the team, and it just a subtle little fist pump. It feels like that team looks defeated to me. That being said, you get a home game in game five, you go out and win that, and you drag them back to Carolina, you ask some questions, that there's still a chance for them to get back in this series. But Carolina is just executing too well right now. It's hard to see them losing three games in a row at this point.
We love our series check-in pods throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. Effectively, this could be a round three preview show. It really can. Yeah, I don't foresee any of the teams blowing their leads, whether it's Florida up 3-2 or the other two up 3-1. I don't know if you agree with that.
Well, I think the easy thing to say is yes, Dallas will lock it up. Carolina should lock it up the way that these teams are playing right now. Nick, the one thing I will say against that is that the teams that are down 3-1 do have that home game in game five. So really, I don't look at it as winning three in a row. I look at it as winning two games. Win your home game, try to find a way to win a tough game six on the road, and then game seven is its own animal. Once you get to game seven, I think everything just kind of resets, and that pressure is probably on the team that had the 3-1 lead. So it looks clean right now. Obviously, Edmonton's already through. It looks clean that Carolina and Dallas are going to go through, but crazy things happen in the NHL. So we'll ask Carter when he comes on if maybe he's feeling any of these 3-1 comebacks. I think we're still going to see something surprising here in the second round, Nick.
No. My first question for Hutz, what in the hell do the Winnipeg Jets do with Connor Hellebuyck following this season? 9 straight road losses in the Stanley? Like, you're kidding me. You paid this guy everything and then some. He literally can't stop the puck, man. I have a vendetta over goalies, I mean, admittedly, but like, I don't know how you trust any of these guys, but this is like the most polarizing story for me, guys, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Pete. How they can't get a save from Connor Hellebuck, back-to-back Vezina trophies. Hell, he might win the Hart Trophy this season, too.
Yeah, the road play is a problem. That's why it's going to doom Winnipeg in this series. I do like Winnipeg in Game 5 at home. Okay. The series has been closer than it appears, 7-7 with Dallas and Winnipeg at 5-on-5. We look at that edge IQ stuff. The ice tilt has actually been more in favor. And I think each game, each of the games to this point in Winnipeg's favor, it's just like Dallas is dominating the penalty kill. Remember, Winnipeg's power play was best in the league in the regular season. It's been that close, but that's a major edge in the special teams.
Well, they might as well rename them Team Finland at this point. It's been very impressive. I don't know what Team Finland is looking like over at the Worlds, Nick. I don't know how much you've been following that.
I haven't watched a single show, Jake.
That's what I thought. That's what I figured, and I barely have
tournament.
Either. It's a tough watch, but I don't know what Team Finland looks like, but they're all playing for the Dallas Stars, so they can't have that great of a roster over at the Worlds this year. It's been so impressive to watch. And on Connor Hellebuck, very curious to get Carter Hutton's take coming up here briefly as well. It feels like the game is trending slowly in the right direction, but it's too slow. You can't get away with that this time of the year, and the clock is ticking now on this series. And Dallas is just the better team at the moment. I do have a little bit of confidence though in Winnipeg finding a way to win a game five for whatever reason. I just think Hellebuck's playing a little bit better on home ice, Nick. I think they can extend this to six, but probably as far as this thing goes.
I would just add that I think a big story is that Jake Onger is hitting like his ceiling.
Yeah,
for the first time, I think, in his career, where it's like he's shown bits and pieces and moments, but now he's putting it all together. And dare I say, this is the beginning of like Ottinger entering that realm where he's in the Vezina convo every year with Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, you know, take your pick of like star netminder. I think Ottinger's ascending here, Jake. That's what's happening.
For a pretty young goaltender, he is racking up the playoff experience every year, deep playoff runs, finding ways to win playoff rounds. So that's going to go a long way. And the regular season is probably going to feel easy for him at this point if he's beating teams like Colorado and Winnipeg, what it looks like is going to happen here in this series. And yeah, Connor Hellebuck's just flat out getting out goaltended, Nick. We can say, you know, he's not the reason that they lost the last game, but then you look through the goals, you know, Granlund's walking in on the power play, basically beating him from the blue line. And then, okay, yeah, 2-on-1, those can be tough. But that when Connor Hellebuck's on his game, he's making that save. So he's just not at his game right now. Clearly, Jake Ottinger is. And he's making a nice case for himself as we move forward here for a possible Conn Smythe even.
Want to get in the action for Stanley Cup playoffs at Bet365? They got you. From game props, player props, totals, and the money line, you can even bet on futures like series winners, conference champions, the Stanley Cup champions, and much, much more. Whatever your bet is, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Download the app and get in the game. An official partner of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, visit ConnexOntario.ca. I've been waiting for this interview all podcast long. We get to him now from Daily Faceoff and the Nation Network. And, of course, Leafs Morning Take. It is Carter Hutton. What's going on, Huts?
Nick, good to be here, buddy. What a time of year. Obviously, things are starting to bubble over here. Obviously, heartbreak last night in Toronto. A lot of goalie stories. This has been fun to watch. It's been a great playoff so far.
Yeah, we were jacked to get you on. Just talk about goaltenders. We'll get to Connor Hellebuck. Don't worry about it. But I just want your reaction. Do the Maple Leafs have a shot of coming back in that series down 3-2 now, whatever that was in Game 5?
You know, honestly, it doesn't look that way, Nick, right now. I think the way Bobrovsky has settled into this series after the first two games, then you look at that overtime game where he made a bunch of key saves, and then early last night, even the Nylander save and then the rebound off the wall. You know, those are big athletic saves, and again, he has the experience. And then you look at Joseph Woll and what he went through. I think the mental standpoint of being in a big game like that and not having success, it's going to weigh on him going down to Sunrise. But you got a chip in a chair. You never know what can happen, but it looks like the Florida Panthers are bound for the Eastern Conference Final again.
Carter, it feels like, and Nick mentioned Connor Hellebuck, obviously he's been a huge story throughout the course of these Stanley Cup playoffs. It feels like his game is slowly trending in the right direction, but it's too slow and it doesn't seem like it's enough to beat the Dallas Stars. Are you seeing any improvements in his game, or do you think there's any way that Winnipeg can find their way back into this series?
Again, it seems disheartening at this point. It's hard for me to sit here and be critical of a guy who's going to win another Vezina and he's nominated for the Hart, but his playoff game has just not been there. And I've talked to a few different goalies about the game, trying to get, you know, other people's take on it. And I think what's really happened to Connor Hellebuyck is just the predictability of the game has gone a little bit come playoff time, right? There's more traffic, there's more tips, there's more structure at the net, which becomes harder for him on a guy who really relies on his read. And I think his lack of lateral movement and athletic ability has hurt him a lot. Where you look at guys that have had successes, you have to be able to make that second save capability. And for me, I think the Dallas Stars are just doing the right thing, being a little patient. He's getting locked on his edges, and they're being able to exploit him. So that being said, he's got some demons to try to exercise tonight at home. Hopefully that can happen, because being 0-9 on the road here in his last nine is definitely not a way to get to anywhere in the playoffs.
Hutz, how dare I bury the lead? Congrats to your boy Matt Murray playing in some playoff hockey the first time since August 2020. What a joke that Leafs game was. But I want you to give some love to the Conn Smythe and maybe a goaltender winning it. It's probably not going to be Hellebuyck. I like Jake Oettinger. Stuart Skinner's got back-to-back shutties. Give some love for the goalies here. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, I think for Skinner, the fact of the matter is he's been through this so many times, right? We got used to this Jekyll and Hyde of Stuart Skinner. We look back to last year. He went through that series with Vancouver where Pickard came in. And, you know, and then they went back to Skinner, and he was good. He had a great run after that. And this is stuff that he's dealt with throughout his career. Again, a guy who kind of got thrust into that starting role. He's settled in. And again, now you've added those tools to your toolbox and experience where he knows how to draw back upon them and play well after a tough outing. So it's been fun to watch. You know, Jake Oettinger, again, has been the difference maker in that series, in my opinion. I think it's a 2-1 game. You know, they have a big breakaway. Kyle Connor has a great chance to try to tie that hockey game. He makes a key save at a good time. They go down. Granlund gets the hat trick. And that being said, that's after a soft goal, right? I think the Nikolai Ehlers goal was a horrible goal, and Jake Oettinger probably the first to say that, but he doesn't let in another one. And that's been so important. So there's been lots of storylines in the crease. And again, Freddie Anderson, where was this in Toronto? He's been steady. He's been playing well. And there's an art to that. You know, for me, when I was early in my career, I remember when I was 30 or 35 shots plus in a game, I was always busier and I was active and I played well. It's an art to playing good when you're getting less shots and more structure. And I think Freddie is the perfect goalie for that system. And Carolina looks like a real deal. I think we kind of slept on them a little bit coming into the playoffs.
Carolina, Carter, is always going deep in the playoffs. And we took them lightly this year because they had to trade away Rantanen and everything like that. But Freddie quietly is third on the Conn Smythe Trophy odds board, behind Rantanen and McDavid, probably because you can't really pinpoint anyone on those Hurricanes. They're such a well-rounded team. If the Canes end up going all the way, you think it's going to be Freddie winning the thing, or maybe like a Svechnikov, or maybe the steady Sebastian Aho? It's an interesting debate. Can't put your finger on who might win the Conn Smythe on that team.
Yeah, it's hard, right? Because you don't really have that superstar that really breaks out. And that's always been their knock, right, Pete, is the fact that they just don't have someone who's going to push them over the top. You know, they tried to get Rantanen, and obviously that experiment didn't work. They had Getzel last year, and it kind of left you wanting more. And I listened to Rod Brind'Amour the other night talking about, you know, their team being a shot volume team. And that's just the opinion we make on the media, and that's a lazy look at what they do, right? And I think they've made adjustments. They keep evolving as a team, which has been fun to watch. And, you know, for that Conn Smythe Trophy, you know, Freddie's going to be in the mix if they go the distance, because he's going to have to be good. He's going to have to stay healthy. But that being said, is there someone that's going to push over the top? And the other guy you could put in that combo, I don't know if you ever could because he's a defenseman, but Jacob Slavin, you know, this is a guy that plays hard minutes, does everything. He isn't the allure of scoring, but man, what a player he is, and he really helps this Carolina Hurricanes hockey team.
Hutz, I went full messy early on. I proclaimed the Edmonton Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup. Who do you got to win this thing?
Oh, I like it. I do like the Oilers now. I think the confidence is where they're at. But this Dallas Stars team, it's their time. I think Jim Nill, what he's done for so many years, and Jamie Benn. And I guess a team I played against a lot in the Central that I always hated going to Dallas. I just felt like they dragged you into the fight there. It was such a tough building to play. And Jake Oettinger, I think this is his coming out party. He's been so good for so many years now, and now he's matured. He's at a point where I think he can push this team over the top. So if I was betting on it right now, I think I'm going Dallas Stars all day. But again, those Florida Panthers are looking good as well. But I'm going with Dallas this year.
Carter, if I gave you a nice crispy $100 to take over to Bet365 right now, and I said you have to bet one of the teams that's down 3-1 in their series, so it's the Washington Capitals or the Winnipeg Jets, who are you putting your $100 on? I have a feeling it might be Washington, just because you just picked Dallas. You like them to win the cup, so do you actually think that either of these teams have a shot to come back?
I might just pretend like I bet that $100, Jakey, and I just might put it in my pocket, because both these teams worry me. But if I had to, I'd go with the Washington Capitals. I think they have the best chance with Connor Hellebuyck. And I just think there's a mental psyche that goes into playing when your goalie's struggling, right? You're not playing the same way. You're defending a little bit different. You're worried about every shot that gets shot on goal. So that being said, I probably would take 100 for Dallas to score the first one tonight. I think they're going to come out and try to, you know, set the tone right away for this series. But if there's anyone coming back from 3-1, you got to believe in the Caps a little bit.
Not to be a financial advisor, but you know, we all saw what you got paid with the Buffalo Sabres, man. You shouldn't be pocketing $100 bills at all. Okay, you're living comfortably. Last one, your Huts. Anything you're playing over the next few days? I know you're big into the saves props these days too.
I do. I do like the Hellebuck saves prop over tonight. It's only 21.5, so I think tonight is a night where Dallas really tries to get this series done. Looking at Edmonton getting their series done, the last thing Dallas wants to do is let this thing get longer and longer when that gives them more time to get healthy, get Ekholm back, and rest their stars. So I think tonight Dallas puts pucks on the net, tries to get there. When we look at the goals that Hellebuck's given up from, you know, distance, I think that's going to be a big difference maker. So putting pucks on the net, high shot volume. So I think that's a safe bet for tonight.
Guys, I like Washington and Winnipeg to hold on and extend their series. Jake, what are you looking at?
It's funny. I had a couple things written down, and one of them was Hellebuck saves prop. So I feel much better about it now that I have Carter Hutton's backing on the save prop, and especially on home ice. It feels like on the road, it gets away from him, obviously, a little bit, and then the other team gets up, so maybe they're not shooting as much. I think Winnipeg could actually win this game on Thursday night, and if they're leading, I'd expect more shot volume from Dallas. So I love that the Hellebuck save prop, and I'm going to take Washington, maybe not to win the series, although the series price is juicy over at Bet365. If you do believe that they can win tonight, maybe a little sprinkle, but Capitals money line. I think they have one more punch left in them here, guys. I think they can bring this thing back to Raleigh for one more game.
We shall see what happens. Huts, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, boys.
The conference finals just around the corner here.
I know, as fun as the conference finals and obviously the Stanley Cup final are, Nick, and I'm looking forward to continuing to breaking it all down with you. I do get a little sad when the first round and the second round end and we don't have as many, you know, 4-game nights or now even 2-game nights. Now we're going to be happy just to have a 1-game night. So I do get a little sad. We are entering into an era, it feels like, or we're living in an era where 4 teams, one in each division, kind of starting to dominate a little bit. Carolina, yes. Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, all 4 divisions. These are clearly the teams to beat, and I think a lot of teams specifically in the second round are finding that out the hard way, that the path through each of these divisions are through these beasts.
PD, we got to roll back the tape because I'm about to go 4-4 here in round 2, but any final thoughts here on our check-in show?
Yeah, picks are looking good too here. I need Washington to come back if I'm going to go 4-0, so I don't think that's out of the question. I like Tom Wilson and all his antics and stuff. I like him to respond in game 5. You can get a good number on him for an anytime goal. I think it's plus 200-something on Bet365. I also like Mikko Rantanen. Just go back to the well. He's still at plus 165 for an anytime goal. I mean, why not continue to bet that player? And then when you look at Florida and Toronto, I like Luostarinen plus 160 for a point in game 6. You already have those odds up. Bet365 is on the money as always.
Yes, they are, and so is NHL Unscripted and Energy Line. Check out the latest editions of that, and we'll be back for round 3 in our conference finals preview probably coming up next week. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Kahn and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.